I invite your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What wonderful truths are set forth here in the book of Romans chapter 8. I want to look at a wonderful truth that's set forth here, and that is the truth concerning the law and the sinner. There are many things that stand out in this text. First of all, I would have you note the now of the believer. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus by eternal redemption, if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, trusting in His finished work, you can never be brought into condemnation. What a wonderful truth. The way we were under condemnation. We were under the wrath of God. We were in great need. But the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth and living a sinless life and providing a wonderful salvation through His suffering and through His death and through His shed blood, He came and He satisfied the just demands of God. And so, those that come to trust in Him and His finished work, they have a wonderful sentence by the judge of all the earth, and that is, not guilty. And then I would also note in this text some things that Jesus Christ came and did. For it says in verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus Christ came and did what the law could never do. Oh, my beloved, we're going to learn this afternoon that there are some things that the law can never do. Some things that the law could never do, some things that the law will never do, and some things that the law can never do. But Jesus Christ came and did what the law could never do. He offered Himself up under the law. He yielded Himself up willingly to the law of God, to the holiness of God. Having lived a holy life, He offers a holy sacrifice in the behalf of believing sinners. And so, beloved, there are some things that Jesus Christ did for the sinner. But I want to focus this afternoon on the law and its ability and its inability. Our text says in verse 3, for what the law could not do. The function of the law has its ability and it also has its inability concerning the sinner. Very clearly, our text says, for what the law could not do. And so, first of all, I would have you note that there are some things that the law could never do for the sinner. There are some things, beloved, I would have you know this afternoon. If you are without the Lord Jesus Christ as your substitute, if you're trying to be saved by what you do, if you're trying to be saved by the law of God, by keeping the moral standards of the law, I want you to know that you'll never be saved by keeping the law. There are some things, beloved, that the law can never do for you as a lost sinner. There are things that the law could not do, our text says. Note very well that the law could not do. The purpose and ability of the law is not what many think. In the book of 1 Timothy, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which Some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The purpose and the ability of the law is not what many think. There are those who go about teaching the law, trying to teach the law. It says in verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law. And there are men who spend their whole lives behind pulpits deceiving people to believe that they can be saved by what they do. They deceive people into believing that if they keep certain ceremonies, they will gain eternal life. If they live a certain way, that they will gain eternal life. And the Bible teaches us here that those men have swerved. They have turned aside unto vain jangling. That is, what they have to say has no value, has no substance, because the law cannot save a person. There are just some things that the law cannot do. Now, I would not be misunderstood. I do not want to teach that the law is not good. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that the law is good and the commandment is good and holy and just. But the Bible teaches us here in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. You see, there is a right way, a lawful way to use the law of God. And there is also an unlawful way to use the law of God. There is a right and a good and a just way to use the law of God. And then there is an unholy way, if you will, to use the law of God. And there are many that go about using the law in a way that it was never intended of God to be used. The law was never intended to save one person from their sin. And so, a right understanding of the law and its lawful use is vital as we approach the subject of this afternoon. I want you to notice that there are many things that the law could never do. First of all, the law could never justify a sinner. In the book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, the Word of God says, and by Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. I want you to notice, beloved, that it says that ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And it doesn't matter what part of that glorious law of God that was given to Israel. It doesn't matter what part of that law you look at. There is not one part of that law that could ever give life to a sinner. There is not one part of that law that could ever make a sinner right, make a sinner justified in the eyes of a holy God. It doesn't matter if you take the part where it says, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not commit adultery. Or if you take the first part of the law that teaches us to honor God and to love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our might. It matters not whether you take the ceremonies of the law. There is absolutely nothing in the law of Moses that could justify the sinner. It could not justify Moses in his day. It could not justify any of the nation of Israel in their day. And it cannot justify any man in our day. It says here, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye, speaking to the nation of Israel, ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And so we find here that the law of God could not do a justifying work. It could not do it in Moses' day, and it surely, beloved, cannot do it in our day. Now you think about this for a moment. If all the sacrifices in the Old Testament were done right, if they sacrificed the lamb according to the law, and they brought it to the tabernacle or the temple, depending upon the time, and they offered it up, and they confessed sins over it like they were supposed to do, and everything was done exactly right, it could still never justify a sinner. It could not do it in that day, and my beloved, there's no way for any of that law to justify a sinner even in our day. In the book of Galatians, we read this truth. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, not only can you not be justified by the law of Moses, but you can't be justified by the works of the law. That is, not only cannot the law justify you, but your works in relationship to the law can never justify you. Let's look at it again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. No man has ever or will ever be justified by the works of the law. Here's how a man is justified, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Oh, my beloved, the law could never justify a sinner, and it can never justify you as a sinner. The law could not give life to a sinner. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now there are men who like to divide up the Word of God and say, well, people were saved in the Old Testament by keeping the law, and people are saved in the New Testament by grace, and people will be saved in the tribulation by the law. That's just not so. Notice here, it says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If any time in the past, looking all the way back to the Garden of Eden, if there could have ever been a law that could have given life, surely God would have given a law that could give life. But I want you to know, beloved, there are just some things that the law cannot do. The law can never give a sinner life. It could never do it, and it can never do it. The law cannot give life to a dead sinner. The law could not make the sinner perfect. In the book of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The law, beloved, could not make the sinner perfect. The text says here that the law made nothing perfect. It didn't make the tabernacle perfect. It didn't make the nation of Israel perfect. It didn't make any individual in the nation of Israel perfect. The law never made anybody perfect, and the law will never make you perfect. There's just some things, beloved, that the law can never do. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter how religious you are. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter how diligent you are. It doesn't matter how many sacrifices you make. The law could not make the sinner perfect. I would have you also note that the inability of the law to do these things does not lie in a deficiency of the law. The inability of the law to do these things lies in a weakness of the flesh. In the book of Romans chapter 8, this is very clearly laid out before us. For it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The reason that nobody could ever be justified by the law, the reason that the law can never give life to a dead sinner, the reason that the law can never make a sinner perfect is because of a thing called a sin nature. And because we are depraved sinners, the law can't help us. Because we are depraved sinners, we have it in us to violate the law of God. We have it in us to be rebels against the holy God, our Creator. And so it is, beloved. It's not really a deficiency in the law. It is a deficiency in those who cannot keep the law, who cannot do the law. You see the deficiencies in you, beloved. And then secondly, I also want to know that there are things that the law always does to the sinner. Just as sure there are things that the law cannot do, it cannot justify, it cannot give life, it cannot make you perfect. Just as sure as it cannot do those things, there are some things that the law can do to the sinner. The law of God has force. The law of God has power. As it says in the book of Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 4, where the word of the king is, there is power. And however the King of Glory intends for His law to work, it will work. Now, He never intended for His law to save, and therefore, it doesn't save. But we find that He does intend for His law to do something. The law does some things to the sinner. First of all, the law shows man his sin. The law of God is a revealing document. The law of God is a condemning document. Romans 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is given to show us our depravity. The law is given to show us our sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. As you look at the law, and you look at it truthfully, and you look at it honestly, you understand, beloved, that you are a sinner. As you see it as it is, and when the law of God comes knocking on you and knocking on your door and says, I'm here to expose you, like it did to the Apostle Paul, then you find out, beloved, that you really are not as good as you thought you are. In the book of Romans chapter 7 and verse 7 it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taken occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, that is, when it came in its force, when it came in its power, when it came in its reality to my life, sin revived and I died. Paul was very much alive to himself. He was much alive to his self-interest, and he was much alive in his self-righteousness without the law, that is, without a true knowledge of the law. But when the law came to him in force, in reality, the law showed him how much of a sinner he really was. But when the commandment came, the Apostle Paul says, it began to excite his sin, that is, to show him his sinfulness. Secondly, we find here the law holds the sinner accountable to God. Romans 7 and verse 6. Now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. Now I want you to notice this, that we were held, we were condemned, we were held accountable. And so it is, beloved, that the law holds the sinner accountable to God. The law holds you accountable. It holds you accountable to do everything perfectly. It holds you accountable to do everything that it demands perfectly. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, notice the Word of God. It says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Have you done all things that are written in the book of the law? Have you done them perfectly? Have you done them without variance? Have you done them absolutely right? Then, beloved, you can never be saved by the law. But notice this. The law will hold you accountable to do them. It tells you you must do them. And that if you don't do them, then the wrath of God abides on you. And so it is, beloved, that the law holds the sinner accountable for God. And then also, we find that the law worketh wrath. Romans 4 and verse 15 says, because the law worketh wrath. This law that shows man that he's a sinner. This law that holds that sinner accountable to God. This law works wrath. The wrath of God works on all those who are under the law. They can never be freed from that law on their own. All they have to look forward to is the wrath of an almighty God. If you're listening, you think that you can be saved by what you do. I want you to know, beloved, that you'll never be saved by the law. You'll never be saved by the works of the law. You'll never have life by the law. But the law condemns you. And the law says that you are guilty. And the law holds you accountable for what you've done against God. And the wrath of God is contained in that document, that condemning document that hangs over your head. And I want you to notice this also. That the law will always have its way with the sinner. The sinner can never on his own free himself from the power of the holy law of God. He may reform, he may do better, he may amend, but the law of God will still have its way. The sinner can never get out from under the law. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Listen, beloved, when the law speaks, it speaks to lost sinners that are under its weight and under its guilt and under its condemnation, not to those that are under grace, but to those that are under the law. And it says that every mouth may be stopped. The reason the law says this is to shut your mouth. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. I want you to know that you can never of your own relieve yourself from the weight of being under the law of God. Do you not hear the law of God? The law of God says condemned. The law of God says lost. The law of God says no hope. The law of God says the wrath of God abideth on you. And then finally, I want us to notice that there are things that the law can do for the sinner. I want you to notice that the law can bring the sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing the law can bring the sinner to Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, and it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You see, my beloved, the law can bring the sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is proven by what the law has done to every sinner. The law has condemned you. And the law points you to no alternative but to the Lord Jesus Christ. We also find out here that bringing the sinner to Christ is the grandest work of the law. This is the way the law serves lawfully. This is the grand purpose of the law. The purpose of the law, as I've said throughout this message, is never to save you, but to point you to a Savior, to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does the law do this? Well, it shows our weakness through the flesh. As I read there in our text in Romans 8 and verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. You see, beloved, we are weak through the flesh. We cannot be saved because of this weakness of the flesh. And it shows our weakness, and then it shows the strength and the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law says, behold the Lamb of God. And then finally we find this, Christ did by the law what we could never do by the law. God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Christ, by His sinless life, justifies all those that are accounted in Him. I want you to know, beloved, that you'll either stand before God on your own merits, on your own law-keeping, or you'll stand on the merits of the everlasting and eternal Son of God. Either you have the law of God that hangs over your head, or you have a blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you stand in relation to the law of God? Are you under it? If you are, you're under its curse. You're under its condemnation. You're under its wrath. And you, nor the law, can ever free you from that. No ceremony, no priest, no sacrifice that's ever been given by man can ever satisfy the demands of God. Or are you redeemed from the law? Where do you stand in relation to the law? Are you under it? Or are you redeemed from it? Has the precious blood of Jesus Christ paid for your sin? Did He take your sin in His body on the tree? Can you trust Him to satisfy the just demands of God in your behalf? Christ is the only hope that you have to be relieved from the condemnation of the law. He is the only one that can get you out from under the weight and the burden and the wrath of the law of God. Jesus Christ is the only hope for justifying sinners. If you would ever be justified, if you would ever be not guilty, if you would ever get out from under the weight and the burden of the law, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself a ransom and who satisfied the just demands of God, and that being proved by His resurrection from the dead. May God bless you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the full pardon and forgiveness of your sins, and trust in nothing else but Him.